This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT Weekend for the third weekend of April 2020. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Quijano with KUT 90.5, the NPR station in Austin, Texas. Here's what we've got for you this week. An Austin running company changes course amid the coronavirus pandemic.
I guess the word spread like wildfire that we're making them, and we sold out almost immediately, and we've had to bring on more workers to help sew them.
Testing and tracing could get us out of quarantine someday, but what's tracing and how does it work?
The first thing we want to understand is when they started feeling bad. That date is really important because that helps us to understand when they might have been infectious.
And with families stuck close to home, bear hunters take to Austin streets.
So you guys want to sing the bear hunt song?
No.
Okay. Those stories and more in this edition of KUT Weekend. The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Austin, Travis County surpassed 1,000 this week. As of Thursday, April 16th, health officials have reported at least 18 coronavirus-related deaths in the area. To date, more than 8,000 COVID-19 tests have been conducted through public and private labs in Travis County. On Monday, the city of Austin and Travis County extended the stay-home, work-safe order until midnight on May 8th. The updated order includes some provisions not in the original order, including the requirement to wear face coverings when out in public, and it allows fabric stores to be open for the sole purpose of selling fabric for making face coverings. A big reason for requiring people in Austin and Travis County to wear face coverings when out in public is to reduce spread of the virus by people who have it but don't show any symptoms. Here's KUT's Trey Shar.
Travis County Judge Sarah Eckhart made the point. She said we're seeing
a correlation between asymptomatic spread and the clusters that we've been investigating.
The stay-home order has been renewed until midnight, May 8th. County Commissioner Gerald Doherty wants to use the time between now and then to work out how businesses can put in place preventive measures to let them reopen, at least to some extent. The top doctor at Austin Public Health, Mark Escott, says it's critical that people continue their physical distancing.
If people start to fade out now in their commitment to that, it's going to prolong that phase of needing to keep people at home.
He says the better we do that in the next 3 weeks, the better position we'll be in to look at how and when to get businesses open again. Trey Shar, KUT News.
The coronavirus pandemic has been very disruptive to the economy, cramping supply chains and shutting down stores. KUT's Jimmy Moss reports on one Austin manufacturer that pivoted to making masks just as the U.S. was coming around on wearing them.
For Kim Overton, the economic shutdown hit her company like others.
We had to let go 4 people, and a lot of our partners, retail partners, have had to shut their doors.
She founded Spy Belt 13 years ago in Austin. The company manufactures running accessories, mainly small belts with pouches to hold keys or a phone securely while you run. They sell more than $200,000 a year in stores across 35 countries. But with the pandemic, sales fell to a trickle.
And those who are fortunate enough to be online, they're doing what they can to push online sales. We're in big box too, like REI, Dick's Sporting Goods. They've shut their doors, which is really mind-blowing.
The cancellation of big road races also hit the bottom line.
The Disney World Marathon, all these big events, were part of their entire series, about 6 to 7 events a year. The Capital 10,000 was lined up. Big race for us, all canceled.
But she had an idea something bad could be coming because of issues with a Chinese partner months ago.
So we already had delays of manufacturing one particular product that we make with them. And so we started to see shipping and delivery delayed for some of our larger clients as early as December.
When things came to a head here in Austin last month, she put aside running belts and started making masks. These aren't the surgical grade N95 masks. These are cloth masks that keep you from spreading your stuff around and keep you from touching your nose and mouth. Something critical for Overton, who may be feeling more vulnerable in this crisis.
Oh yeah, I have a lung condition, the name bronchiectasis. It puts me in the high risk category. It's a permanent lung condition, damaging of my lungs, makes me susceptible to pneumonia.
So as COVID-19 spread, personal face masks quickly became a requirement in the Spy Belt factory. And this was weeks before the president's coronavirus task force suggested they were even necessary.
Because based on the best evidence available at the time, it was not deemed that that would have a significant impact on whether or not a healthy person wearing a mask would contract COVID-19.
That's U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams announcing a change in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommendations for the general public and masks.
CDC recommends and the task force recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain. These include places like grocery stores and pharmacies. We especially recommend this in areas of significant community-based transmission.
And now Spy Belt is humming again, to a degree.
I guess the word spread like wildfire that we're making them, and we sold out almost immediately, and we've had to bring on more workers to help sew them.
The staff had to work through the weekend to try to meet demand.
We turned our feature off online to sell the masks because we're so inundated with sales. They want to catch up with inventory.
And there's more good news for both Spy Belt and the pandemic. Overton says orders are starting to pick up for their core product, those running belts, in of all places, China. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.
Governor Greg Abbott announced plans on Friday for a gradual reopening of the Texas economy. KUT's Samuel King reports that Abbott says it's possible to put people back to work while also preventing the spread of the coronavirus.
Governor Abbott announced a loosening of a few restrictions beginning early next week, including on some surgeries and reopening state parks. Then next Friday, some businesses that had been closed will be allowed to offer retail-to-go services like delivery or curbside pickup. He says a strike force of elected officials, business leaders, and health experts will meet to determine the next steps.
With the announcements coming on April the 27th, one thing that our team will be working on collaboratively but expeditiously is to evaluate what other types of businesses can reopen and what are the best standards and practices for those businesses to follow.
Abbott said his plan includes ramped up testing for the virus but did not provide specific numbers. He also ordered schools to remain closed until the end of the academic year because it is still not safe for students to gather. Samuel King, KUT News.
But Austin Mayor Steve Adler says we need more testing kits before any of that can happen. KUT's Audrey McGlinchey reports.
As of last Friday, about 6,000 people in Travis County had been tested for COVID-19. Right now, if you have symptoms, it's not certain you'll be able to get a test, Adler says. You also need to have been in close contact with someone who's tested positive, with priority for healthcare workers and other first responders. But testing, the mayor says, is a big factor in deciding whether to begin unraveling all these restrictions we have.
We have to have both a better idea of how far the virus has spread in our community right now. And we also have to then have the capacity to be able to monitor how the virus is spreading or returning to the community. And we don't have that capacity.
But Adler says he expects we'll be getting more test kits in the next couple of weeks. And with that, he says, we should be able to expand the criteria for who gets tested. Audrey McGlinchey, KUT News.
And on Friday, Austin's Public Health Authority announced they're rolling out a new sign-up system for coronavirus testing. As KUT's Andrew Weber reports, the online platform is set to launch next week.
Austin Public Health says anyone will be able to fill out an online form to determine whether a COVID-19 test is necessary for them. If so, they'll be able to schedule an appointment at a drive-through testing site without going to a physician and get results online in 2 to 4 days. APH Interim Health Director Mark Escott said the tool will funnel all those results into one place, giving health officials a clearer picture of the pandemic's effects on Austin and allowing for more accurate contact tracing.
as individuals, as businesses continue to increase their offerings of testing, we can feed all of this into this one system so that we can accurately track who's being tested, but also provide that much needed contact tracing and information for those folks as well.
Escott said with the signups and an infusion of more rapid tests in Austin, healthcare workers will be able to test as many as 2,000 people a week. The signup site will launch sometime next week. Andrew Weber, KUT News.
One of the main strategies that could let states ease social distancing requirements is aggressively testing people for the coronavirus and then tracing the people they come into contact with. Austin is beginning to ramp up its contact tracing efforts, bringing in an army of people to do that work. As KUT's Matt Largy explains, it can be a tedious and time-consuming process.
So I want to believe that contact tracing is this dramatic thing, a team of disease detectives connecting the dots to contain the outbreak, just good old-fashioned shoe leather tracking down the unsuspecting folks who might be the next to get sick. But it can't be like that, can it?
Actually, yeah, you're not far off. There is quite a lot of detection work at play here.
Darlene Bhavnani is an epidemiologist with Dell Medical School in Austin. She's on the team that's been tracing contacts for the coronavirus here. But how does it work?
So I called a case last week as soon as I received a test result.
I asked her to walk me through a real-life case.
And I started talking to him about, first, how he was feeling. You always want to put the person first.
They talk about the person's symptoms, make sure they're isolating themselves properly from other people.
The first thing we want to understand is when they started feeling bad. That date is really important because that helps us to understand when they might have been infectious.
Now, normally this is easy, but with COVID, there's a problem.
Our greatest challenge here is that people can become infectious before they present with symptoms.
People can still spread the disease before they even know they're sick.
And that just really complicates things very badly.
Marilyn Faulkner is an assistant professor of public health at UT Austin. She has decades of experience in the field. And Faulkner says the only way around this problem of carriers without symptoms is more widespread testing.
If you wanted perfect contact tracing, you would have to test everybody, symptomatic or not, in this situation. Clearly, that's logistically impossible.
Back on Bhavnani's call with that patient, she's established a timeline when this guy first started feeling sick. So she walks it back a couple of days.
So counting back 2 days and then asking about when they actually went into self-isolation so that you get the full span of, you know, when there might have been exposures to other people.
They'll walk through those days step by step.
So, you know, what did you do on Monday? Walk me through what you did.
Where did you go?
Who were you with?
How long were you with them?
What were you doing when you were with them?
Bhavnani says the exposures they're interested in tend to be more than just a casual thing. Face-to-face encounters that last more than a few minutes, like in this call.
He was working with another individual, and that same individual had spent Sunday night at his house. They both had their girlfriends over, so there was a small dinner party.
Definitely a risk of transmission with that kind of setting. So she makes a list of contacts.
And try to get the names and numbers of those people.
And then you call those contacts. Ask them how they're feeling.
If they do have symptoms, the really important thing is to get them tested right away. We want to make sure that we're stopping transmission.
Of course, there are other problems.
People nowadays don't answer their phone unless they recognize the number.
That's Marilyn Faulkner from UT's public health program again. She says if people don't pick up the phone or return messages from tracers, the whole system doesn't work.
It's really, really important for the public to cooperate with this endeavor. That's the only way it can succeed, is if people will cooperate.
And cooperation is the only thing that's going to get us back to something close to normal. Austin is ramping up its contact tracing capacity. Last week, they had 10 or 20 people doing it. They hope to have 200 people by this week. But testing needs to be in place, too. Texas has one of the lowest testing rates of any state. And without widespread testing and more tracing, lifting any restrictions could lead to another deadly rise in coronavirus cases. Matt Largy, KUT News.
A Travis County District Court judge said this week that he will clarify that voters fearful of contracting COVID-19 will be allowed to access mail-in ballots during upcoming elections. KUT's Ashley Lopez reports the Texas Democratic Party asked the court to step in during a remote hearing in Austin.
Texas has one of the strictest vote-by-mail programs in the country. Only people over 65, people who are in jail and not convicted, people who will be out of the county, and people who are sick or disabled can get mail-in ballots. Texas Democrats, however, say because people could be exposed to the coronavirus while voting in person, they should be allowed to apply for a mail-in ballot under the disability category. Lawyers defending the state argued that there are too many unknowns at this point, and the defense says expanded ballot-by-mail might not even be necessary during upcoming elections. Texas Democrats say that without this clarification, many people will either not vote or risk their health to vote in person. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton weighed in and said in a statement that fear of contracting the deadly virus does not qualify someone for a mail-in ballot. Ashley Lopez, KUT News.
People who've tested positive for the coronavirus and subsequently recovered can donate plasma, which may contain antibodies to help fight the disease in patients suffering from it. KUT's Sangeeta Menon tells us about the local effort to enable this treatment.
The Central Texas Blood Bank, We Are Blood, has begun collecting convalescent plasma. In addition to the standard blood donation criteria, donors need to be symptom-free for at least 29 days, or 14 days if they've had a subsequent negative test result. Dr. Kristen Mundy is the chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Dell Medical School.
Although showing promise, in general, viral diseases have responded best to, you know, a vaccine. But since we don't have a vaccine yet and we don't really have other therapies that are working really well, this is a good idea.
Mundy says the overall risks are low because of the standard blood screening processes. She says their first patient receiving the treatment is showing improvement in terms of his fever and oxygen needs, but she can't say definitively if it's linked to the plasma. They'll need more patients to receive the treatment in order to know if it's effective. Sangeeta Menon, KUT News.
Austin-Bergstrom International Airport stands to receive close to $59 million under the federal coronavirus relief package. KUT Samuel King reports the FAA is advising airports to use the money quickly.
Under the CARES Act, close to $10 billion is available to help airports deal with the impact of coronavirus. The money can be used not just to fight the virus, but also to keep airports running. That's important because Austin-Bergstrom is one of the many airports dealing with a drastic drop in revenue. Spokesman Bryce Duby says the situation's already led to budget cuts.
We've already had to cut this year for fiscal year 2020 about $20 million from our operating budget. And I've taken a look at different discretionary spending contracts, things like that, as far as what certain non-essential services that we've had to trim back.
Under separate parts of the act, the city of Austin is eligible to receive more than $160 million, and Travis County, $54 million. Samuel King, KUT News.
A group of local faith leaders and health workers want vulnerable jail inmates in Travis County to be released to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. So far, no inmate has tested positive for the virus, but Dr. Snehal Patel says that doesn't rule out that there could be individuals in jail who are coronavirus positive.
But if we do not have any individuals with infection in the jail, that's phenomenal, and this is the opportunity that we have to really decrease the risk of infection being introduced and spreading very rapidly.
Patel is part of a group of health professionals and faith leaders asking officials to stop jailing people for low-level nonviolent offenses. They're also asking jail officials to use social media so that families can see the measures being taken to prevent the spread of the virus. As of this Monday, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice stopped intake of all inmates from county jails. COVID-19 and the stay-at-home orders enacted to stop it have changed almost every aspect of daily life. One that you might not notice, unless you're looking, is the appearance of stuffed animals crowding the windows of homes around town. It's part of a game for families stuck at home that some are calling a bear hunt. KUT's Moes Bouchel took his kids out on their wagon for a hunt and came back with these tips.
Okay, kids.
This walking.
My hunting partners were my 3-year-old boy, Moon. Do you want to wear these binoculars?
No, I eat these treats.
He loves sweets and treats.
Okay.
And my 5-year-old daughter, Una.
I pulled out the wagon.
Thank you, Una. This is our first bear hunt. The idea is people put out stuffed animals like teddy bears so kids can walk around to find them. It's like a scavenger hunt. It doesn't need to be animals. Families also put paper hearts or drawings of rainbows in their windows. The bear hunt name probably caught on because of that kid's song, Going on a Bear Hunt. So you guys want to sing the bear hunt song?
No. No.
Okay.
We're going on a bear hunt.
Tip one, bring your phones. People who put out animals tag their houses online. To start with, I'm going to look at this map.
And open these three.
Tip two, bring nutritious snacks.
All right, I'll let you have some sweets.
Tip number three, watch out for grackles.
Ew, get it off!
What just happened?
The bird moved on.
You know they say that's good luck though, Una.
All right. The hose.
Oh yeah, the hose, that's a good idea.
Why is bird poop good luck?
I don't know why it's good luck.
Okay, off we go. Tip four, as you walk, listen.
I'm not scared.
I'm not scared.
Does it seem kind of more quiet than usual?
Yeah, but it's nice.
Hardly any cars, hardly any planes. The birds seem louder, but everything else is eerily still.
And what about this restaurant?
It doesn't look like there's any people in it. Because there's coronavirus in there.
Well, I don't know if it's in there, but there is a...
Sometimes people can get sick from the coronavirus.
Is that why we're all staying at home?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a thought that's unescapable. People are losing their jobs, risking their lives. People are getting sick. And here I am, lucky enough to be hunting teddy bears.
Stop.
Our first sighting, the kid's friend's house down the street.
I see some animals there.
Oh yeah, I see them.
There's a rabbit, a couple puppies, maybe a dinosaur thing. And the kids decide that I am a horse.
Let's go. Yeah, horse, yeah, horse.
All right, I think there's some more up here.
Another tip, maybe study the map before you leave.
This is becoming very complicated. Yeah, I'll let you look at it as soon as I look, okay? Ooh, that's the Miller development.
Tip number seven, the kids are gonna wanna look at your phone.
So if we're here.
Okay, here. Tip number eight, don't let them look at your phone.
Why does Moon get to hold the telephone?
You can get a turn too. Moon, after we see your next animals, you give it to Una, okay?
Yeah.
Even though sharing is caring.
To anyone. You always need to share. Sharing is caring. If you don't share, I'm going to keep holding it.
But Moon, that's actually, if sharing is caring, then you should share with your sister, right?
Moon is being mean to me.
I'm not. These things aren't always the way you envision them. Hey guys, you know what? They just announced that we're going to be at home for another month.
Next, we spot a bat and a panda bear. But really, some of the coolest stuff you see won't be on the map. Staying so close to home makes you notice things you never did before.
Well, I hear some animals.
They're real animals.
They are real doggies.
And a pet pig.
Piggy! Piggy now!
I never knew we had a pig in the neighborhood.
Okay, Piggy. So, are you eating grass? Just goes snort. He's trying to sail.
Last tip, try to go out on a high note.
All right, see you later.
Bye, bye.
And finally, when you get home, no TV until you wash your hands. Moses Bouchel, KUT News.
Hey, what's
Ooh,
that?
Look at that tall, wavy grass.
It's so tall.
We can't go over it.
That's KUT Weekend for the third weekend of April 2020. You can subscribe to this podcast at weekend.kut.org and email any questions or comments to weekend@kut.org. Or you can just ask me on Twitter, where I spend most of my time. I'm at Jerry Quijano. Our theme music is by RAC. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry Quijano with KUT 90.5 and KUT.org. And then,